Good evening, here with Dr. Stephen Etheridge at Brock Baton Rouge Orthopedic Clinic Surgical Center here. And the man, kind of the disruptor, I guess, with the regenerative medicine.
Yeah, I'm definitely the weirdo around here, for sure. No doubt about that.
I love it, though. Like, that's kind of where my passion is, and you and I have talked about that a little bit, the regenerative medicine.
Yeah.
And I call it the future of medicine. I really believe that there's so much unknown and still untapped in that regenerative space.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of where we're going today that's going to involve looking at ways to help the body heal naturally. You know, there's always going to be need for certain things, you know, and that's the great thing in working in a group here. I work with a lot of guys that are surgeons, guys that understand that sometimes you have to fix something.
Of course.
And especially with the technology we have today that's growing. But other times, there are other ways around it, and I think we're learning more and more when to use these new tools. We're getting, every year, I've had there's something new coming out, and approaching it from more of a true medical background, more of a medical approach. We're also able to kind of figure out when do we use what, you know, and it's been a pretty good marriage thus far with all of this stuff. So
Yeah, I've always been fascinated. I was, of course, I didn't have the grades you did, so that's why I'm not, don't have the MD. I wanted to become a physical therapist, and after my third year in college, I had like a 3.0. I didn't know what it took to get into PT school. No one told me it was basically like getting into med school.
It's hard.
And so sure. I had a bad motorcycle crash where I almost lost my leg, broke my femur, ruptured popliteal artery, bilateral ACL tears, the whole nine. And so I needed emergency surgery. There was no regenerating, internal bleeding, compartment syndrome. So after several surgeries, and now several knee surgeries to get the knees right. Dr. Bankston, Brent Bankston, did my knees. I asked, who's the best knee guy in town after they did my femur and I started trying to walk again and my balance? I said, who's the best knee guy in town? And they said, Bankston does all LSU athletics back then.
And sure, he's still great.
He's the man.
We got two Bankstons, they're both great.
No, yeah, runs in the family.
Apparently so.
And I remember I'd be at the, like, in physical therapy, and I had people who had ACLs, and their scar was this big.
Yeah.
Mine's, like, that big.
Yeah.
And I remember just little things, and I was like, I could tell the difference just in, like, the subtlety of just how his incision looked so much cleaner and better than other surgeons. So there's always a place for surgery. There's never going to be a lack of that.
Yeah. It's you know, it's good to be able to kind of combine everything.
Yeah.
To look at it from so many different angles. And, you know, it's been a great thing here. Like I said, I've been with Brock now for about 10 years, been with LSU for 15. So when I first came back, I was just doing emergency medicine. And since then, I've been working in the clinic now mostly. And over the past, you know, 10 years doing this, we've really been able to, like I said, to kind of really grow this side of the medicine that we're doing to really find when to use these things and when to utilize. And, you know, it's interesting because my first, you know, started doing some of the biologic regenerative stuff that a lot of my partners were a little bit iffy about a lot of it. And, you know, it's just nothing new. It's not what they were accustomed to. And I think, you know, there was this kind of idea that a lot of this stuff was almost more like snake oil. And you hear that term a lot, and it's voodoo. And to be fair, there are things out there that are. You know,
my mother-in-law still tells my father-in-law, because we did some exosome injections on him earlier this year, but he did no therapy, did none of this. He's done none of the things I told him to do for his shoulder, but he complains his shoulder's not getting better.
Right. Yeah, and look, just like any treatment, you know, there's no treatment that's a guarantee. Even surgery, there are times that we know it's the best option, but, you know, and you kind of hit a lot of it already, that part of it is how do you approach that whole process? Did you do a good job with your therapy? Did you do the right thing? So even if you have a great treatment, whether it's an injection, whether it's some other, you know, IV treatment, whether it's surgery, you know, there's a lot more to it than just that procedure. And you know, it's funny too, I know you mentioned the physical therapy, and, you know, it's an interesting field because I do feel like so much of this idea behind a lot of the regenerative medicine, there's a really good, you know, correlation there. There's a really symbiotic relationship with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you do a exosome or stem cell injection, your outcomes aren't going to be as good if you say, okay, I put that stem cell in my knee or that exosome in my shoulder or the PRP in my hip, and then you just do nothing. And I think that's where a lot of people also go wrong is, you know, it's not ever this black and white picture where it's always so obvious. We have to get a little creative sometimes. And I think you have to understand too that, you know, sometimes a little trial and error. Sometimes that's why we say practicing medicine. There's a lot that we still don't know, a lot that we're still learning.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what kind of drove you? You said you were in emergency medicine. What made you make that shift to the regenerative?
Well, it was always part of the goal. So, you know, I did my original residency was actually in family medicine, primary care, and I loved that idea originally. You know, I loved the idea of doing everything. I was that guy in med school that every rotation I went on, that's what I wanted to do. And I finished my OB, I'm going to be an OB. I finished my P's, I love kids, let's do a pediatrics. And I really kind of got through everything, but I also played football at Florida State. I grew up in sports, played a lot of sports throughout high school. I've always been a huge part of my life, so I've always liked that. And, you know, so orthopedics was a big draw. And ultimately, you know, I kind of kept bouncing around. I ended up doing more emergency medicine after my fellowship. But I did a fellowship in sports medicine. A guy that was my mentor, actually, he was a team doc at Florida State when I was there. He did a lot of, back then, a lot of prolotherapy, which is probably kind of where a lot of regenerative medicine began, which is one of the older treatments we still occasionally do. Started doing some PRP, so you know, that's been over 20 years ago, the first PRP injection with him, and then started doing that on my own. So I always had a passion for it, and even when I was working predominantly in the ER, this was sort of always the goal. At the time, like I said, I was one of the team docs with LSU, so I was already doing a lot of this out there.
Yeah.
And we had always talked about bringing that to Brock. It was finding the right time to do it. And it took a few years, which for me was probably the best thing, because it helped me to really kind of figure some stuff out. And once I got here, I always had a really good plan of how I wanted it to go. But and then we've kind of shifted and pivoted, of course, but it's been good.
Well, I'm sure it's like the timing, because like you said, 15, 20 years ago, it was really looked at kind of unknown, uncharted, and to get the acceptance at an orthopedic surgical center to bring in biologics and regenerative.
It's interesting, like I said, so a lot of the true, I guess, biologic stuff really started probably with PRP, platelet-rich plasma, where, you know, we take the blood, we spin it down. For those people who aren't familiar with it, we use a portion of your blood that has platelets to try and stimulate your body to heal and recover. And the idea, the platelets, the way I tell my patients, they're the first responders to an injury. Mm-hmm. So, and that's any injury. You have a cut in your arm, the platelets are what sends out the message to help form a clot, to help form the new tissue growth. So I remember the first time I did one, again, it was with a guy that was my mentor, Dr. Chris Stowers over there in Tallahassee. And I remember we were so excited. We're like, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. We're going to fix everything. And honestly, even a lot of the orthopedic guys back then were like, oh, this is going to be great. Well, of course, it didn't fix everything.
Yeah.
It's a good injection. It's something that when used appropriately, but I think in the beginning, we threw it at everything. You know, you had horrible bone-on-bone arthritis, let's do PRP. You had a torn patellar tendon, let's try PRP.
Yeah.
You know, things that realistically now, you know, looking back, are like, yeah, of course it's going to fail in some of those scenarios. But unfortunately, I think it turned a lot of people off early on because it didn't work for everything.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of refined it. We've understood the limitations of that. And then we figured out when to use it, where to use it. And then now we have so many other things that are coming out. You know, you mentioned the exosomes earlier, stem cell treatments. There's a lot of other things that we're starting to do. There's another blood injection that we often do called A2M. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. And I think part of it is you have more tools, and part of it is knowing when to use which ones.
Right.
And so it's a little bit of all of the above. And then also you have to temper expectations a little bit. Like I said, nothing's perfect. There's no one treatment that is going to be the, at least currently, the, you know, the end all to everything. So it's, you got to kind of figure out when to use what, and that's, it's kind of grown a lot. Like I said, had a great relationship with my partners here. They're fantastic guys, are really open minded. And over time, it's funny, a lot of the guys, like I said in the beginning, were a little bit hesitant, and many of those are now the guys that are sending me the most referrals,
right?
For a lot of these treatments.
Well, because people now are seeing, and there's, you know, the FDA, none of them can deny that these things are working.
Yeah.
And there's too much of it, like peer studied evidence, because I started going deep down a rabbit hole into stem cells and exosomes for my knees.
Yeah.
The aches and pains, and trying to figure out a way to heal after 40 and feel better. And that was what, it's kind of like all roads kept leading back to that.
Yeah. And I really think that, you know, I, like yourself, I've had some injuries. Like I said, I played football. I had a bad shoulder that was very unstable. I had started dislocating and subluxing on me on a regular basis. It had some structural abnormalities that needed to be repaired. So it was, but it still bothered me quite a bit. Really never got to where it was 100% better, and probably never would be 100%, but it would keep me up at nights. And so I actually did an exosome injection for my shoulder several years ago, and I'll tell you, it worked great.
Yeah.
The shoulder feels better today than it did 10 years ago. Had the exosome about 5 years ago, and it's that 5-year stretch. And again, like I said, it's not perfect. I still have some soreness here and there. It's a beat up shoulder that I continue to beat up playing ball, and But it's way better now than it was, because I'm 47, when I was 37, it hurt more than it does now.
Right. So yeah, how much is less pain and better quality of life worth?
Yeah.
And for me, like, mine had been bothering me to where it was getting, I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep on my sides. And then I'm trying to sleep on this one side all the time, and then this shoulder.
So it starts to hurt, you hang it over. I mean, it's funny, that's almost probably the biggest complaint with shoulders that I see is sleeping. You know, mm-hmm. It's a shoulders and sleep. And again, we've had a lot of patients that have done really well with these treatments, and there's a lot of people who will come in and say, "Doc, I'm sleeping again," or "I'm able to do this, you know, I'm able to reach up," and
right.
things that they weren't able to do before. And several times just because of an injection. And again, like I said earlier, the therapy, the treatment, how you approach it. But
yeah.
That's the one thing that was different. And to your point, I've seen it work way too many times.
Right.
I've had way too many patients that have had just outstanding results, things that went above what I expected even. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work for this guy, but if they really want to try it, at least it's not surgery. And,
yeah.
You know, at least give it a chance. And then worst case, you know, we can always do more later. And I've had a lot of those that have surprised me.
Yeah.
And so to the point where I've convinced myself a few times when and again, this, like yourself, have something I've had a very big passion for, something that I've always been very interested in, something that I do think is going to be a big part of the future of medicine. But even then, sometimes it does surprise me with how good it does work.
Yeah. What, obviously, a big focus, you know, you got the LSU and Saints gear in here, LSU Athletics, you've been their doctor now for 15 years, mm-hmm. one of the sideline doctors, and with football, baseball, a lot of the different sports programs.
Yeah, been out there a while. It's crazy how long it's been. You know, I've got a son who's 16, and it's a good way to age how long I've been doing it, because we moved here. You know, he wasn't even quite two when we got here. So that's a big part of where this began. And you know, the interesting thing is we started doing more and more of these injections. You know, very fortunate at LSU from the time I got there. It's a really forward-thinking program.
Yeah.
I was fortunate with the people when I came in. You know, our head trainer when I first got there was Jack Marucci. And Jack was a guy who was always about, hey, innovation. And again, with concern, with reasonable expectations. We wouldn't go out there and just throw anything at anybody. We wanted to first and foremost feel really good about the safety.
Yeah.
So, and the one nice thing with all these biologic injections is really early on, we felt very comfortable with the safety. You know,
yeah.
You could argue, does it work? And that's, like I said, a discussion that obviously I believe they do. But forgetting that for a moment, we felt really good about safety. So we were able to start doing some of these things. And the interesting thing is that we had such great success. Like I said, when I started here, I almost felt like it would be wrong not to offer that same treatment to the patients that come in the clinic. Because,
right.
you know, when I first started, I was a little bit hesitant. You know, I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of the oddball here. I'm the first guy doing a lot of this stuff. You know, occasionally guys were doing a rare PRP or something. But I was really the first one to really kind of push it. And at first I was a little hesitant, but then I was like, you know, it would almost be, in my opinion, just wrong not to offer it, because we had such good results. And it is a big part of what we do in sports medicine. I think a lot of regenerative medicine, that's really where it got its start,
you know,
cutting its teeth in sports medicine, because you're always looking for a healthy way to get a guy back on the field earlier. You know, that's a big part of it.
Right.
But
natural
health,
not banned substance.
Correct.
I mean, these are natural tissues.
So, you know, you're not using a steroid, something that has a side effect that's negative, that if you're using anabolic steroids, things that are against the rules, you're not using something that's going to really cause them GI irritation, that's going to interact with other medicines they might be taking or other medical conditions. And then in a worst case scenario, if it doesn't work, you're not hurting the athlete. You know, in a worst case scenario, we're not putting them in harm's way. So I think that's really where a lot of this got such a big jump start. And to be fair, in a population that in the beginning was, you know, these guys, they want to try, like, hey, I want to get back on the field. What can I do to help my patellar tendonitis get better faster?
Yeah.
How can I get back out there and feel more explosive and faster? So a population that is willing, a population that is motivated, which is a big part of it, because, again, you got to do the right things, like we said.
Yeah.
And then a group where we felt comfortable doing these things. And so, yeah, it's a huge part of what we do, you know, at LSU, but also across the spectrum with all the sports medicine we take care of.
So, obviously, athletes, you know, joint injuries is one of the biggest ones, Achilles, mm-hmm. things like that. What about for the average everyday person? Like, what are you mostly treating in your, like you said, maybe it's a 60-year-old lady with a bad hip, or you know, what do you see from the general public that people could say, oh, I should go see Dr. Etheridge before I go get a new hip or a knee replacement?
So it is interesting, because the more I've done of this, the more all over the map it's gone. But I've also been doing this long enough, you know, like I said, almost 20 years of doing some type of regenerative medicine, been doing some of the stem cell exosome stuff now for about a decade. So these are things that are not new. So I've kind of figured when and where to use which injections. As far as the specifics, it's really all over the map. I find soft tissue injuries, if I had to say one area where it works the best, you know, patellar tendonitis and Achilles tendonitis, get a lot of people with hip pain because of some gluteal tendinopathy or hamstring. You know, that's an area because not only do you often get them better to where they feel good, but that might literally be an injury that never comes back. You know, we have to understand too, if you have a bad arthritic knee, at least at this point, we can do some stuff that can make it better, things that can make it healthier, maybe something to maybe prevent certain treatments. But if you got bad arthritis, you know, if I put a shot in there, you're still going to have arthritis. And I think that's something I try to be realistic with my patients. And, you know, I'm not going to tell them, hey, I'll put a stem cell or an exosome or a PRP in your knee and you'll never have an arthritic knee again. Well, once the arthritis is there, it's probably going to be there to stay, at least with where we are today. But I can make what you have left healthier. We can make that knee feel better. And yeah, you can do it in a way that's not causing harm. And we talked about that with the athletes. Well, I don't want to cause more harm to your joint. I don't want to give you a Band-Aid, even if it might be something where down the road you still ultimately need another injection or maybe even a knee replacement. You know, I have some patients who have a really bad arthritic knee, but they're at a stage in their life where, hey, I can't miss several weeks of work because of a knee replacement. You know, if you told me right now I had my knee replaced, that would be a big struggle for me in my lifestyle.
Good football season.
Right, yeah. What am I going to do? So a lot of these treatments, sometimes it is hopefully to fix something. Sometimes it is to buy time. And unfortunately, and then maybe, who knows, we buy time and maybe the technology gets better one day down the road where we're seeing even better results, and that's where we're hoping to go with a lot of this. But today we're still figuring it out. So, you know, I'll see patients with a shoulder who can't sleep at night, with maybe a runner they're having some patellar tendonitis and they just like to go out and run on the weekends, or maybe it's a person who's big into marathons and they've got a bad IT band issue, and those are really chronic, and sometimes we can do some stuff there. You know, if it's some arthritis in the hand, maybe a little CMC joint arthritis.
Yeah.
You know, and again, with each of these issues, we have to, you know, the one thing I try to do with the patient is bring him in and say, listen, this is where I think it will help you. This is a realistic expectation, because sometimes people come in with the idea of, I've got bone-on-bone arthritis in my knee, I want you to do a stem cell injection so I'll have a perfect knee. I have to tell them, well, we're not going to get you a perfect knee. Like I said, I don't have a perfect shoulder, but it's a whole lot better.
Right.
So you got to give patients the realistic expectations and then let them make the decision. But the nice thing is, like I said, very safe, non-invasive. Your downtime is almost zero with these treatments.
Right.
You're not going to miss work. Maybe I'll tell you to stay out of the gym for a short time, but even then it's very short. So it's such a great option that I think we are learning. Like you said, becoming bigger and bigger, we're learning that these are safe options, that these are good options. And for some patients, they're the best option.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, looking at A2M, you know, a lot of people have heard PRP. Mm-hmm. What is A2M? How's that different from PRP?
So similar in that they both come from your blood. But the interesting thing is, beyond that, they're really almost on the opposite end of the spectrum of what they do. So when I bring patients in, a lot of times we're talking about a lot of these regenerative medicine treatments. Really, one thing they all have in common is, at the end of the day, it comes back to the balance in our bodies between anabolic and catabolic. And I kind of do the scales here. So your anabolic, that's your healing, that's your recovery, that's your ability to grow new tissue and do all of that. The catabolic is the breaking down, the destruction, sometimes causing inflammation and irritation, but you need both. If I have an injured, you know, organ, injured tissue, injured whatever, I've got to be able to break it down in order to, you know, build it back up. Or if you're in an emergency where you're starving and you need calories for your body, well, you got to be able to break down tissue in order to supply the nutrients to your body. So it is a necessary process. But what happens as you get older, as you've had damage, as you've been in a motorcycle accident or you've been in a football injury or whatever that is, over time that balance shifts. We become more catabolic. So with any of these injections, no matter which one we're talking about, exosome, stem cell, A2M, PRP, we want to shift that balance. We want to bring that catabolic back down. We want to bring the anabolic up, maybe even make you more pro-anabolic. If we can get you to a state where you're more regenerative, where you're healing better, then that's going to be where we see the best results, and that's where you actually do sometimes see some degree of healing in tissue. So with PRP, well, that's a pro-anabolic. We're upregulating your anabolic ability. We're stimulating the body to heal and recover. A2M, on the other hand, is the opposite. We're blocking the catabolic. So A2M is alpha-2 macroglobulin, and it's a protease inhibitor. So it's a natural structure that's in your blood. So with that injection, we draw your blood, we spin it down just like A2M, but then all that plasma goes in this special filtration system, filters out that A2M, then we inject that. And for example, if I'm injecting your knee, it's going to go into the knee, and it's going to bind to a lot of these catabolic proteases, and it's going to block them. It's going to decrease their activity level. And so if I decrease that catabolic response, if we decrease it enough, even though we're not technically upregulating the anabolic, you may chip that scale to where we're now more pro-anabolic or at least neutral.
Yeah.
And so during that time frame, it's less inflammation in the joint or whatever it is we're injecting. It's less irritation. Maybe you'll see some degree of healing and recovery. I find that's an injection that works really well for the joints. So I talked about soft tissue stuff earlier. I find the A2M, especially for people that have some mild arthritis, maybe somebody who had a surgery, you know, even some of our athletes, if they had, an ACL, meniscus, whatever, and they were swelling a lot after surgery and were having a hard time getting that swelling under control. I mean, we've had some athletes that you know, you'll hear the stories, like, man, I used to have to get my knee drained every so often.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We've had a lot of those guys that we've been able to either eliminate that or at least reduce it. You know, lots of examples, but, you know, I remember we had one athlete, I felt like we were draining his knee every week. It probably wasn't quite that often, but pretty close. We did one of these A2M injections, and he basically made it through a full season of football. We had to drain his knee once at the end of the year, but we had been through camp, and, you know, because it was a guy that just had some early arthritic changes. But then you can turn that on to my older patients, and same thing. If you've got an arthritic joint, maybe one that's not, you know, completely wasted away where you have nothing left, but you're getting a little swelling, a little irritation, we put it in there, and it stays in the knee for quite a while. So, and then maybe even if all the A2M's used up, who knows how long before that balance shifts back to a more pro-catabolic joint. So it's been a really effective treatment, but like I said, it's on the opposite end of the spectrum from the PRP, even though they both come from your blood. And there's a lot of other things like that that we're just learning. You know, you mentioned the exosomes, and, you know, that's another big topic for a lot of people. They're like, well, what is exosomes? Mm-hmm. So I guess this would be a good way to segue into the exosomes. So exosomes are a version of stem cell treatment. So one thing we've learned with stem cells is that, you know, we talk about stem cells and they're these powerful cells. They're the progenitor cells in the body. So a stem cell is a cell that has not differentiated yet into, say, a skin or cartilage or whatever. Well, early on, there was this idea that, hey, let's take some of your stem cells, inject them into your knee, and hopefully that will grow you new cartilage or new meniscus or new whatever. Well, I'm just going to be honest, I always thought that sounded a little bit hokey. How does it know exactly where to go and what to do? But then the other piece of that is actually that it's kind of a scary idea, because let's just say that is true. Let's just say I take this stem cell and I put it in your knee. Well, what if it turns into the wrong thing?
Yeah,
what
you don't control.
Yeah, if it grows you hair in your knee. Or what if it grows you cartilage, but it grows it too robustly or in the wrong location? Well, all of a sudden you got this big chunk. So I always thought, A, that just didn't make sense, but even if it did, that's a scary idea. Well, the reality of it is that was never what was happening. But then on the other hand, people got better. So we had to ask ourselves why. Well, it comes back to that balance, that catabolic-anabolic balance. So if you think about it, especially if you're using stem cells, you know, one of the common sources now is amniotic-derived. So these are amniotic and placental-derived stem cells. So at the time of the C-section, they're using some of the amniotic tissue or the placenta or the umbilical tissue. And what they're doing is they're proliferating those. Now, I think it's important for people to understand these are not embryonic, so we're not talking about anything that has to do with an abortion.
Yes.
That's one of the common, still to this day, misnomers that's out there. You'll hear that a lot. I get patients all the time, like, I'm not touching that stem cell stuff. I don't want. And regardless of everybody's personal feelings, it doesn't matter, because it's not part of what we're talking about. These are taken from
healthy. Yeah, it's ethically harvested.
Yes.
Like, I stressed that about our lab in Waco.
Right.
You know, these are all C-section, you know, donors. These are naturally hard, and they volunteered for this, and these are
screened for everything possible.
Yes.
And so, but it is important to understand that, because I do understand why there's a moral dilemma there for a lot of people.
Sure.
But so what we figured out is, well, the stem cells, if they're not growing you something directly, then how are they working? And the reality is, it's that shift in that anabolic and catabolic. If you think about it, especially during development, in these stages of, you know, these amniotic umbilical tissues, well, that's when our bodies grow, heal, recover the most at any point in our lives. There are certain proteins and peptides and things that we have in our bodies then that now we don't,
right,
as adults. So what we figured is that it's more of a paracrine effect, meaning that it's stimulating that balance, that anabolic-catabolic balance. And at this point, the things that they have identified in these stem cells, there's a bunch of different cytokines. There's these different stimulating hormones, peptides, all these things that help your body heal and recover and grow. Well, at one point in time, you know, somebody probably way smarter than me said, hey, well, why do we even care about these live stem cells? So the exosome is the next step, in my opinion, in the evolution of those treatments.
Yeah.
We're basically looking at it saying, look, I don't need the live cells.
Right.
I want a product that's a concentrated version of the stuff that's in them. Because that's what happens. If I inject a stem cell,
75-plus growth factors in it.
Yeah. And probably more that we're still identifying, being realistic, but that we know of. And so if I inject a stem cell in your knee, all it's doing is releasing exosomes. So with the exosome treatments, we're just concentrating those down further.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what we were talking about with PRP, with A2M. The only difference is with the exosome, or the stem cell, to be fair, you're getting both. You're getting a lot of things that are going to stimulate and recover all those growth factors that we've identified. You're getting some natural anti-inflammatory cytokines and things that are going to block the catabolic.
Right.
So you get a little bit of both, a shift in both of those with the exosomes and stem cells. And with the exosomes, you're just getting a more concentrated and really realistically probably cleaner product. I like both. I've used both. I've had great results with both. But I think a lot of times people come in, you know, I've had a lot of people, I want the stem cell because I want something that's going to grow me new stuff. Well, we've been able to do that in a lab. We've been able to grow cartilage meniscus in a lab, but we haven't done that in the human body yet. So I think maybe one day, but we're not there. So I think right now it's all about that paracrine effect, all about the stimulation of your body to heal and recover naturally. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what I found fascinating with the exosomes was the fact that, like you said, the healing factors are sometimes even systemic. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had people that I know who knee injections or shoulder injections, and they're like, you know, my hands aren't hurting as much.
Yeah.
You know, my arthritis isn't as bad. And other areas where they didn't even get the site injection.
Yeah, and I've seen that multiple times. And, you know, I had an interesting one. I think I told you about it, but I had a lady who'd had a lot of GI issues for years. And we never injected anything near her stomach. We injected other parts of the body, knees, ankles, other things. Not even a lot of injections, but after she came in one day, and she's like, okay, this is really strange, and it's probably a stupid question. But she's like, I haven't needed my stomach medications nearly as much as I used to. She was taking, you know, things for antacids and things like that for years. Now, I'm not telling everybody that's what will happen for them. I'm not saying that if you have, you know, chronic reflux that this is the treatment of choice. But there's clearly an effect that we have seen that is systemic. They've looked at individuals, their inflammatory markers in their bloods, their SED rate, their CRP, some of these things that we know are markers of the level of inflammation you have in your entire body. And if I inject your knee, we have seen in some individuals as it come down. Now, the interesting thing, though, is we still don't understand that. We don't fully understand it. We're learning. And so I can't predict it. Like I said, I don't want to go out there and make that statement. Well, hey, come in, I'll inject your knee, and your whole body's going to be healed. You know, that sounds like a quack, and I recognize that, and I don't believe that.
Yeah.
But I believe there is something to it. You know, it kind of goes down the pathway of a lot of these peptides that I know a lot of people are taking now. Not something because of some of the regulations I do a lot of, although I think there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah. Again, one of the, I think, the next big future in, like, medicine.
Yeah.
Because of the little, you know, risk and side effects, because most of them are naturally occurring. And again, the proof is in the pudding. Like, people
are getting better,
healing. People's joints are getting better. I mean, like, we were on the BPC 157 TB500 back 10 years ago when I was bodybuilding. It was kind of taboo. People thought it was some kind of steroid or something.
Well, and here's the interesting thing.
Didn't know what it was, but
BPC 157
a lot better.
Is a gut peptide. That is its main function in the body, is it helps gut heal.
Yep.
But we learned that if you put it systemically, it actually seems to have some effect systemically, and clearly it does, because we've seen the results. And again, I agree with you. You really can't argue. Now, again, I've had some patients that have tried it, and you know, sometimes is it a quality product? And I think that's something you really need to source your products.
Right.
And I think that's where people get in trouble with those, is they're getting pricing bad products, and sometimes you can get a dangerous product if you're going through a bad source.
Yeah.
But overall, most of my patients that have done it have been happy with their results. Like I said, it's not something we're currently prescribing or offering here, but a lot of them tell me, they're like, hey, doc, what do you think about this? And, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, not something I'm going to prescribe, but do the research. I think there's some legitimacy to it. But we can't really recommend it just because, you know, it's something that's still kind of still a little bit taboo with the FDA, even though, you know, we could have a probably a whole podcast discussion on that. There are things like, you know, some of the probably the most popular drug in the market right now
is
semaglutide, tirzepatide, which, you know, Ozempic, Mounjaro, those are peptides.
Yep.
Some of the things we use, you know, oxytocin, some of these other things that we've used for a long time, medicine, growth hormone for kids who have a growth hormone deficiency. That's a peptide. That
right.
So we need to slow down a little bit. Now, if somebody comes to my clinic saying, hey, I want to talk about peptides, they're obviously not talking about those. They're talking about some of the other ones, things like BPC-157, TB-500.
Yeah.
But I think there's a place for those. I think we're going to find that in the next, you know, decade, we're going to discover more of when to use them, how to use them. You're going to get, you know, more reputable sources. There's people out there that I think are doing it right. There's a lot of clinics even here locally that are doing more of it, and I think probably doing it right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's something with y'all's group.
Yeah, we've started going deep into that research, and it's one of the things, like, I'm a huge advocate on the retatrutide.
Yeah.
Because it's like a triple agonist instead of just a single for GLP.
Yeah.
Less, if any, known side effects and more effective. And ironically, it's a peptide. It's not a weight loss drug. But like I joke with clients, I'm like, the side effect is weight loss improved. But it's actually improving cellular function and actually like reprogramming your cells to perform more optimally.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that improves like mitochondrial function and everything. So your energy is better. You know, and then the BPC, for that, like, it's just... I could get
in. Oh, we just get down the weeds in that. And,
oh, it's amazing.
But even for people, you know, post-operatively, maybe it helps you recover faster. Maybe you don't get as weak, as tired, you get a better regeneration. For people on some of these weight loss medicines like Ozempic, one of the problems with some of those meds, you got to be careful because they're non-specific weight loss medicines, especially the higher doses, yes.
It's not all weight.
So fat. Most people who want to lose fat don't want to lose muscle. Definitely don't want to lose bone density.
Right.
And unfortunately, especially at those higher doses, that's something we sometimes see.
Yeah, call it Ozempic skinny.
Yeah. But so maybe in some of these individuals, you find a way to find, if you really need the drug, can we give you something to help your muscles to not degenerate at the same time?
Yeah.
And again, if you're trying to lose weight, especially trying to lose fat, one of the easiest ways to do it is gain muscle. Now you might gain weight, but good weight.
And
so that's something too, because as your metabolic rate increases, which happens when you get more muscle mass, you're going to burn more calories, you're going to burn more fat. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. And like I said, I don't even pretend to be an expert in all of it, but I do believe it aligns so well with what we're doing in the regenerative medicine world and the biologic injection world. It really comes down to those same pathways, you know,
right?
The stimulation of the body to heal, to recover, to block the inflammation, to inhibit some of the negative responses. And then with peptides, it's just a lot of these, it's just doing it in a very specific marker. You know, and again, those are things we're still learning.
Yeah, the gene on the biologist at our lab in Waco for the biologics is one of the smartest people I've ever talked to. Yeah. And the way he said it, kind of simply, like to dumb it down for people like me, he would say that the biologics, it's basically reprogramming and giving your cells the blueprint to function the way they were meant to when you were an infant and developing, and everything starts functioning the right way.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's like a blank slate that's programmed, and it just gets, like you said, your elbow healing and firing the right way. And those healing cascades kind of come with the exosomes. And he would talk about it that way, and I was like, it's a pretty simplified way of dumbing it down as to everything that's happening inside the cell and why you see the healing, why you see her gut got better from multiple joint injections, because she's got this influx of, you know, billions of exosomes, and so it's kind of reprogramming, and her body is getting back to its natural homeostasis and like its happy place where it was when you were a kid and you didn't have upset stomach, you didn't have shoulder pain.
I mean, we all looked at the Fountain of Youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number of times I hear some version of that in my clinic, probably daily. You know, it's, you know, different versions of the golden years. They're not so golden. You know, getting old is not for sissies. How can I feel younger? How can I feel like I did 10 years ago?
So unfair.
And look, we're all after that. And I think, you know, part of this comes back to having realistic expectations. You know, I'm probably never gonna feel as gray as I did when I was 18.
Yeah.
But I think there's things we can do to get better than what we are. And I think we're figuring out more and more of these things. And I think the only thing is you also have to be careful. You know, I always tell my patients too, look, you gotta, again, temper expectations.
Yeah.
If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But that, again, there. So we gotta find that, how can we slowly get you there?
Right.
What's a safe way to get you there? Because I do tell patients, I've had a lot of patients that just probably go overboard. They spend a lot of money. Sometimes have bad experiences. You know, you talked about the Ozempic skinny people who are just so, I've got to lose this weight, I've got to get this weight off, and they overdo the Ozempic, which is a great drug.
Yeah, in moderation.
Yeah.
For a duration of time.
I know people who have lost a lot of weight. I know diabetic patients who are so much more healthy now because of their regulatory control, their metabolic control from the Ozempic and other type of medications. But too much of anything. We talked about earlier peptides, insulin. Insulin has revolutionized diabetes care. If I loaded up a full 60cc syringe of insulin and popped it in your arm right now, you're going to die. You know, because your blood sugar would plummet. So, again, all these things, we have to be smart. And that's the one thing I do tell people, be careful. Make sure you go to the right people. Make sure you're listening and make sure you're not jumping too quickly. But on the other hand, I think it's very exciting.
Yeah,
where we're going, there's a lot of promise to this, and it's something that is very exciting.
No, like I said, I was excited to get a chance, and I was glad you had a break today so we could chat a little bit, because we've been talking a lot on the phone and working together a little bit. And again, especially during football season, I know that's got to be exciting. Let's talk about that for a minute. I mean,
sure.
The LSU, like one of the prime, that's got to be pretty freaking fun.
It's a lot of fun. You know, I'm very fortunate. This has been, a great job. Been doing it now for about 15 years. I've worked with some really, really outstanding people. I still work with some of the outstanding people, the athletic training staff we have out there. We have a great partnership now, not just with Brock, but our Lay of the Lake has been fantastic, giving us great support. A lot of the resources. We talk about all these treatments we're doing. Well, we have to be able to fund those. We have to be able to do these things. And even though LSU is this huge program, it's not easy to do everything we have to do. But it is. It's a blast. Like I said, I've been very lucky to be around some really good people. We've had a lot of really good teams in that time frame. It's something that I enjoy. But, on the other hand, it is. It's a lot of work.
You travel to all the games, huh?
Got all the games. So I tell people this time of year, look, I work 7 days a week.
Right.
I'm in clinic here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm at campus all day on Wednesday seeing patients. On Saturdays, we cover the games. And we got to get there early and do treatments. I'm not out there tailgating, having a lot of fun with everybody else on the sidelines, which again is a lot of fun. Get to be there. And then on Sundays we do an afternoon injury clinic because we got to take care of the guys that got hurt the day before.
Right.
We got to get out ahead of it before the week really starts, and then start all over again on Monday. And we have a lot of people. I sound lucky to work with some great ones. But a lot of them are even working harder than I am. These athletic trainers. I get to leave when they're still doing treatments. I get to come home on Sundays. Like I say, we have a clinic, but then I'm done. We see the guy, like, all right, see ya. And they're still there. They're still doing treatments. So to all those people that work out there that make it possible, definitely say thank you to them.
Yeah.
And to all the people in the community support that we have. And then, here in Baton Rouge, I'm not from Louisiana. Like I said, I played ball over at Florida State. I grew up in Florida. But we've been here a while. And just, I'll tell you the one thing that's so special here is the community.
Yeah,
it's contagious. It's there's a reason why people don't like to leave Louisiana. Just you're so warm and involved, and everywhere you go, people want to really help you, and that spirit I think is a big part of what we do in medicine and what we do in helping these people. So it's a cool experience though. Yeah, like I said, football. I played ball, so that's my big passion. But I do my other big ones are gymnastics and baseball. But we also all cross cover. I help out in basketball occasionally, and the guys who basketball will help me in football if we need something, it's a really great place, and LSU is a fantastic, just such an awesome place that is one of these elite programs, but great people, very family-centered program. It always has been since we've been here. Like I said, my son's grown up with us, and he's grown up in the training room. He's in pictures all over the place here.
Right. How lucky is that as a kid, right? He probably doesn't even realize his dad's got, the first job.
Yeah, I think he's, at least now at 16, he's kind of figuring out that this is not normal, because some of his friends will come over, and, maybe they'll come up with us one day, and they'll get to see, the facilities, or maybe bump into one of the players, and, you see their eyes light up.
Yeah.
And for him, I remember when Leonard Fournette played here. I've told this story a lot, but he asked me, Colt did, just time of year's appropriate. Dad, do you think Leonard would go trick or treating with me? And this is when Colt was probably about 4 or 5. And, you know, I'm like, nah, you know, you can't do that, buddy. And I'm sure if I'd asked him, you know, he's one of the guys that was always really sweet to my son, to this day still is. If he ever sees my son, he'll always give him a big hug and shout out. But so many good kids.
Yeah.
I get to work with these young men and young women who, and you, of course, we all hear about when something bad happens, a kid gets in trouble. You know, one thing I'll say is 99% of these kids are just awesome. Solid gold, good people, good humans. They're trying to do the right things. You know, even today's day and age, I know everybody talks about NIL and all this, but at the end of the day, they're still kids. They're still good kids. And,
yeah.
And kids that want to help. So it's been a lot of fun.
And speaking of Leonard, I got to say, shout out, because he had a football camp this summer.
Yeah.
Asher did his football camp, and Leonard did the meet and greet, took pictures with everybody, you know, took his time. I found Asher had a number 7 jersey from back in, like, it was too small, but I was like, oh, here it is. I went home, got it, signed the Leonard Fournette card, and took pictures with Asher, and he gave me his number. We're supposed to do a podcast one day, too. He was just awesome.
He's a great guy.
He really was. And then, like, one kid in the Q&A after the camp goes, can I have your cleats? And he freaking took his cleats off and signed them and gave them to the kid. And then all the other kids
were like, man,
I should have asked that question.
Absolutely.
You know, I was like, that was cool. Like, that kid got some freaking, you know, and that was just like one of those things. Like, he just, man, he lit up all his kids. It was just an awesome clinic for them. And you know, like you said, there's so many of those guys. And those little things don't get announced from the rooftops.
No.
You know, and we forget sometimes, too, we're all human.
Yeah,
we all have a few drinks. I can't say that I've never driven my car after a few cocktails. And, you know, people want to massacre a kid or an NFL player or somebody gets a DUI. You know, they want to throw them under the bus. And it's again, we're all human.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like before you start, then again, were you 18, 19, 20? Did you have the whole world bowing at your feet at 20, 21 either?
I have done my fair share of stupid. It's something my wife and I talk about this a lot. And it's like, you know, if we had a camera following us around all the time, and thankfully we grew up in an era that we didn't have cell phone cameras or social media or any of that, but if you follow me around, if you took me at my worst moments and then you put those out there for the world, you would think I'm the worst human being alive. You know? And rightfully so, because that, you know, we all do bad things. I wish I could tell you I've never made a mistake or never done something stupid, but we do. And yeah, these kids, they're kids. And it's not to say there's never been a kid that's done something wrong or even really bad things.
There's a few, but so few.
Yeah, the majority of them are good kids. The majority of the mistakes are honest mistakes. You know, right now, we've got a great group out there. This is one of those teams that, you know, I want them to win. And, you know, I try not to be too big of a fan because I have to do my job. But, you know, you can't help it because you grow to love these kids. And, like, right now, this is a very special team. And I feel like most of them are, but some groups just seem to rise a little bit more. This team right now, just a lot of good dudes, a lot of kind-hearted, good human beings. You know?
Yeah.
And they're great at football.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, that's second, and it's easy to forget that. You know, it's you know, the things I hear people say sometimes on social media or in the games yelling at these guys. I'm like, you know, and I know the kids are getting paid now. I know that changes the dynamic, the way people look at it, because I hear that all the time. But at the end of the day, you know, they're still
kids playing a game.
They're still kids playing.
They're still human beings. Yeah, like, let them enjoy it.
And so I think we always need to remember that. Really, not even just with our athletes, just in general. But you know, we all make mistakes. We all do stupid. But no, it's been, like, LSU's been great. The kids are great.
Yeah.
For me, it's been good for both personally. You know, obviously, I've gotten to experience a lot of wonderful things, but also professionally. Like I said, I've had the benefit of getting to be around a lot of really smart people.
Right.
You know, I'm a big believer of, like, you know, I never want to be the smartest guy in the room. I like being around people who I can learn from, because if you're not, you're not learning, you know, what's the point? So
you're always in a room full of surgeons and
there are a lot of smart people around here, so I've learned a lot.
It's a high IQ room.
Yeah, I still learn a lot. You know, like I said, we do our Sunday clinic, and I love listening to my partners, and I love listening to our trainers. I, you know, I never thought of that, or of presenting something that way, or I'll watch the way that one of my guys would do a knee exam, maybe just does something a little different than me. I'm like, you know, I'll have to try that the next time, you know. And those are things we got to keep learning, and then also keep applying all the stuff we're talking about here. Is there something new? You know, I don't want to be closed off to the idea of, hey, maybe this exosome injection is the right treatment for this shoulder condition. And if I don't ever consider it, you know, I'm not going to grow. So it's a big part of especially in this world, especially in this regenerative medicine world. You know, kind of bring it back to that is you gotta be willing to listen.
You
gotta be open. But then, like I said earlier, you gotta have realistic expectations. You got to be careful. I think taking the right approach, doing it from a evidence-based approach, doing it, you know, from a cautious approach, and then just being honest with our patients, letting them know, like, hey, this is a great option.
One thing I've heard rumors and talking and discussed with the group in Texas, traumatic brain injury, and nebulizing or like even like a nasal inhaler on the like in the tent, like right after concussion protocol. Have you seen that? Are you hearing discussion stuff? Because obviously, you know, concussion syndrome, traumatic, like that's a big concern with football now. Like, are you seeing or hearing any of that? Where they're seeing possible evidence of it helping to bring down some of the concussion?
Definitely hearing it. I think, you know, obviously we still, the brain is, you know, the human body is complex and the brain's a whole other level.
Yeah.
Concussions, traumatic brain injury is obviously a big part of sports today. It's like concussion has basically become almost a dirty word around sports just because it's something that we talk about so much. And rightfully so, it's an important topic. There is definitely some research going that direction. Definitely heard people talking about whether it's nebulized or even IV treatments. Now, obviously, that would be harder to do right on the sideline, but maybe after the concussion when you get them in a more controlled environment doing, you know, an infusion.
Right.
You know, obviously, you're not going to inject something into your head. So you're trying to find ways, you know, a lot of these exosomes and different products do cross the blood-brain barrier, so they're able to get into the brain areas. And, you know, concussion is at its root an inflammatory condition. It's a traumatic injury that causes inflammation in the head. So there is a lot of interesting research. I think we're still a little bit more on the early kind of premature phases, not to say that it won't work, not to say there's not a place, not to say, you know, look, I've had people that have gone and sought those treatments out and some that seem to get benefits, whether it's from a concussion or maybe more of a chronic condition, but then others that didn't. So I think, you know, we all have family members who have had dementia or have had a bad brain injury or a stroke or even just a kid or a family member had a bad concussion. And, you know, if we could fix those things, especially some of like the dementia. And, I mean, oh my goodness. But I think the problem with that is we also be careful not to. I don't want somebody to, because of their desperation, seek out something that we don't know. So I think that's where we got to really push the research. We got to know what we're doing. We got to be careful with that. But do I think there is potential and promise? I do. You know, I know some athletes that have done some of those treatments and they've had concussions. You know, we obviously talk to our people. We talk to our guys that have gone on to the next level and like to hear what's out there and what they're doing when they come back. I love having those discussions. Like, hey, you're at XYZ team. What are y'all doing? Is there something that we didn't do? And it's interesting because some of the times they come back because we're doing more than a lot of these pro teams as far as some of these cutting-edge treatments.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's and like I said, it starts. I was very fortunate to have great people that allow us to do that and help support us. But yeah, long story short, I think there's promise there. I think we're going to see some of these treatments at least being tried. We're already seeing them being tried.
Right.
I think we're going to see a place for them, just like all this other stuff, you know. But it's exciting. But like I said, like everything else, I don't want to pump the jets too much, you know. Let's see where we're going. I don't want somebody to go spend a, you know, fly to some other country and spend a half of their life savings to try and do this treatment because they want their, you know, early onset Alzheimer's to be something that they don't have to deal with. As much as I don't want that for them either, I think at least let's make sure we feel comfortable with what we're doing. Not saying don't do it. I don't want to tell people what to do or not, but I think there's a place for it. I think in sports, I think you'll probably see some trials coming out. I know there's some places, you know, in fact, I talked to your guys at your lab in Waco, and that was one of the questions that we had talked about, is this something that they're going to be looking at? I know they're doing some research there. I know a lot of other groups that are doing the same thing, and I can't wait to see the results, and I hope and pray that there's something to them, but we'll see.
Right. Yeah, over time. I that's kind of like, I'm like watching anxiously to see more research and more, you know, because I saw cardiologist, he was showing nebulizing and it was improving heart function on some of his patients. You know, so it was intriguing to see that. You know, Trey, that's filming the show today, he actually got to come with me to Vegas and meet with the panel of doctors out there, and they had a neurosurgeon who does a lot of joint now. He's out of surgery and he's mainly doing regenerative now.
Yeah.
And he's got, I'm about to connect you guys, because he does some interesting knee injection protocols. Really unique how he's doing it and getting phenomenal results with some of the ways he's doing some of the different approaches on knees and things. And so he talked about that when we were there. And then they had a, like I said, a cardiologist do a whole presentation. And when he was showing the numbers improving on his patient's heart function, and he attributed a lot of it to nebulized exosomes. And I was just kind of blown away when I saw that, you know, because I would never thought that.
Well, we know that everything's connected, you know, and we know that, you know, if you can shift some of that balance, like we talked about way in the beginning, you know, that it's not just going to affect, like we said, just your ankle or just your knee. If it's something that's affecting the body, so who's to say it can't affect the brain, the heart, the liver, the whatever, stomach, we talked about that. But we still got to figure it out, you know. I think you got to be really careful, because on the one hand, this is so promising, it's so exciting, but that's also when we can get in trouble. You know, we need to be very careful that we do this the right way, that we're following good technique and protocol. And I think there's a lot of promise, though.
Yeah,
I do too.
Anything we didn't talk about today that you'd want to, you know, let your patients or the audience out there, people know?
I think we hit a lot of good topics. You know, I guess the one thing I tell people is, you know, look, it's if this is something you're interested in, you know, something we're definitely happy to help you with. It's something that, you know, I think it's worth looking at. But I also think, you know, having a good discussion, you know, do your homework, do your research. You know, it's funny because we all joke about it in medicine, you know, Dr. Google, how many people come in, I Googled this, I did that, and we all kind of chuckle about it.
Dr. G.
Yeah, there's always, but.
You're Dr. E, he's Dr. G.
Dr. G, sometimes is right, but a lot of times is not.
And, or you Dr. Know, GPT now, Chad
yeah,
GPT.
I've had a lot of patients, and, you know, and it's interesting, I will say this, you know, the AI is definitely changing how we're doing a lot of stuff in the world, and medicine is not unique to that. But I've also had episodes where I it has been wrong, you know, where people say, this is what it says. I'm like, that's not right. And we'll pull it up and we'll show them. So still be careful. Now, I will say it is right a lot of times, too. Sometimes it's scary. Like, I had a kid come in. He's like, well, it's funny because he's asking all these questions. And then he's like, man, you know, I did the ChatGPT, and that's pretty much exactly what it said. So I felt good. I was like, okay, I tied AI on that one. You know, and I know, you know, I'm not going to match up with it on most things, But what I tell patients, I'm like, look, do the research. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Yeah. If you're not getting the answers, then maybe, you know, seeking out other places. If somebody makes it sound too good to be true, like I said earlier,
right,
it probably is. But just like everything, at the end of the day, you know, we talked about these kids at LSU. We talked about a lot of stuff just in the world. You know, if you Google stem cells, exosomes, PRP, you're going to find some things out there that say that this. You will never need a surgery again. You will never need an ACL reconstruction. You will never need this.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're going to.
I wish. I've got a fully torn ACL right now, and believe me, I've shot some. It feels better. It
feels better, but it's still
going to be like the ACL is not healed.
Yeah.
I wish it was that good.
And then you'll find the other end, where it's the snake oil, it's the voodoo. You might as well, you know, rub dirt on this or do X, Y, or Z.
My shoulders feel so much better.
But here's the reality. I've done way too much of it. The truth's going to be in the middle, just like everything, just like anything in the world. I'm not a political guy, but just like politics, just like everything.
Truth's in the middle.
Almost always going to be in the middle somewhere, you know, and I don't want to push people too hard anyway. But meaning that, look, I can tell you I've done these injections. Like I said, 20 years of experience doing some version of this stuff. I'd like to think I've evolved what I'm doing quite a bit and still trying to evolve it. And it works.
Yep.
At the end of the day, do these injections work? Do these treatments work? Yes. Now, it works. We also have to say, what does that mean? But I can tell you, in my experience, there is a place for this in medicine. There is definitely going to be more of this coming out in the future. We just need to push the research farther. We need to encourage our people to do that. We need to encourage our government to allow these things. We need to encourage our doctors to be open-minded. We need to encourage our patients to have, you know, patience and realistic expectations. We all need to kind of buy in and be part of this solution. And I think we're going to find some really cool stuff. And then, like, things we aren't even talking about now, you know, we may have this discussion in 5 years, and, you know, there'll be that new thing some of the things I said today are probably going to be wrong, you know.
Maybe by then you could heal my ACL without surgery.
We might have that shot that I mentioned. So, you know, I think we will get definitely more advances.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to be willing to take a chance and willing to admit when we're wrong as well.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I think it's great. Like, you know, especially if you're, like, my wife's a perfect example. Works out every day. Knees are chronically hurting her from all the years of running hurdles in high school and college track. And I told her, I said, go get an MRI. You know, you said that one of the doctors 20 years ago, surgeon, told you you're going to need a knee replacement. But things have changed. Let's see, before you go get a knee replacement, let's see what's going on in there. Let's get the MRI. Let's try some of the regenerative therapies. And really before, or like if you look at it and you say, okay, it's too far gone. Yeah. You know, there's nothing. But at least then you know from someone who isn't necessarily a surgeon that's going to push surgery because there could be a better alternative. Yeah. Or prolong it. Maybe we'll get you 5 more years. Yeah. 10 more years
and
out of that
knee. That's a great way to go. And that's funny. I see a lot of patients that's their fear. Like, I didn't want to come back because I was afraid I was going to be told I needed this. Well, at the end of the day, it's always your decision. I'm never going to tie you down and say, hey, we're going to the OR to do that knee replacement. And none of my partners are either. But there are patients where I do tell them, I say, look, that's probably your best option. You know, that based on your x-ray, based on your exam, based on what you're telling me, based on what we've tried, and some scenarios unfortunately failed. Sometimes that is their best option. Like we said very early on, this we can't fix everything, at least not yet, with some of these treatments. And I have some great partners, and I send them lots of patients.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of patients that what they need is somebody to go in and do surgery. But then on the other hand, I get a lot of their patients sent to me because they're like, I don't know that this patient needs surgery, or they don't want surgery. What else can we do? So I think having those discussions, and don't be afraid to come talk. Look, I'm not going to tie anybody down. I tell them all the time, I'm not going to chase you in the parking lot. You know, even if you don't agree with what I have to say, you know, it's okay. I'll try my best to be honest and tell everybody what I think they'll benefit from. But I tell my patients all the time, look, you know, in this world of medicine, you know, look, I'm going to be the co-pilot. I'm going to be the navigator. It's kind of cheesy, but you're going to be the pilot. I'm going to let you kind of make the decisions.
Right.
I'll do my best to give you the information that I can. Because I do think in medicine, it needs to be collaborative. We need to, you know, part of having good results is all being on board with the same plan. I'm not going to tell you need something and then try and force you to have it, whatever it is, whether it's surgery, a exosome injection, a tetanus shot, whatever. You know, I'm going to tell you that what I think and what my experience and education lead me to believe, which hopefully is right. Sometimes, like I said, I'm going to be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times. I'll be wrong again. Like I said, probably some of the things we talked about today in 5 years, we're going to say, yeah, we kind of missed the mark on that one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, don't be afraid to come in just because you're afraid I'm going to tell you you need surgery. I'm not going to tell you you need surgery, or at least I'm not going to make you have surgery. I might tell you need it, like I said. But
yeah, here's a recommendation. Here's what we can try.
We can do it. And look, I'm willing to have that discussion. Even if you say there's no way I'm doing surgery, okay, we'll take that off the table.
Yeah.
Let's look at what else we can do. Understanding that maybe it's not the option that is the first recommendation, but sometimes it doesn't mean. Like I said, I've been fooled. As much as, like I said, I thought I knew what was right in some scenarios, I've definitely been wrong or been fooled or had better outcomes with something than I thought I would get.
Yeah, absolutely. So people looking for you, best way to find you?
Well, I'm here at Barack, like I said, 4 days a week. I'm here at our location here, 8080 Blue Bonnet, our main location here in Baton Rouge. We have our website, you can just Google Brock or brortho.com. And then our number here was 225-924-2424 is our main scheduling number. We've also switched over to Epic, which for those of y'all that are familiar with that, that's our EMR. So it has the MyChart version. So people that have MyChart, they can also reach out to us through MyChart. So there's lots of ways to find us, lots of ways to get in here. And we're always ready to see people. We're open every day except for just a few days of the year. We have an after-hours clinic, so just as one thing I always tell patients, look, if you have a knee or ankle or if your kid hurts their knee or ankle, I'd much rather come here than go to the ER. You know, it's just you're gonna get somebody who's used to seeing musculoskeletal injuries get in a lot quicker.
So y'all do have after-hours?
We have after-hours from 5 to 10 during the week.
Wow, okay. I never knew that.
Yes, 5 to 10 during the week, 10 to 8 on Saturday, and noon to 6, I believe, on Sunday.
Okay.
And that way, so when your kids are playing stuff, you know, it's if your kid hurts their ankle, you know, bring him here. You know,
I would just use like my friend card and like text Craig Green whenever something happened on the weekend.
That's not a bad way to do it either, to be fair. But unfortunately, we don't all have the friend card. So, but it's definitely a good option. Just as a side note, that's a great service we do, and it's been something that saves a lot of people from, like I said, going to the ER or somewhere.
Find like the little after hours, they're very limited.
Very limited. They're trying to do everything. You get one small clinic that's trying to do everything, and they're not going to have the same resources for a lower extremity injury.
We're going to
have here. So,
excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate all you guys who listen every week. We'll be back again here with more Financial Fitness. So tune in.